All right, it's great to see you this morning and be gathered in the Lord's name. And I'm glad that some are feeling a little bit better and able to be out this morning. And I hope your week has been good and you've recognized the Lord's care in your life. Let's pray as we begin. Thank you, Father, for the scriptures. As we open the scriptures this morning, Lord, we pray that you will teach us with them, that we would be ministered to in our hearts. Lord, help us to gain some ground. It's easy to lose ground. We pray that we might gain some ground in our spiritual walk with you, learn some important things from the Word of God, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anybody need any help with where we have gone so far in this with blanks? Well, Judy, you don't have any of them. I realize that. But we could go through that, but
we can borrow mine later.
Yeah, and if you miss something, we'll just pick it up at the end. Just meet with me here, and I'll help you at the end if there's anything else. I wanted to just talk a little bit about verse 2, and then I'm going to go on where we were left off. We said in the notes concerning verse 2, verse 2 is Psalm 3, verse 2, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. There is no deliverance. There's no God helping him with his situation. I believe the reasons they are saying that is because they know about David's sins. Now God knows everything. He knows the sins that we'll get into as well. But still, he is disappointed. Disappointed with us, and we feel that also in our own lives than when we sin that we have disappointed the Lord, and it's discouraging in your own heart. And we talked about the two sins that were very well known in David's life were numbering the people and the sin with Bathsheba, and numbering the people had to do with pride, and of course with Bathsheba with lust and evil desires, adultery. And were there other sins with him? Obviously. I mean, who makes it through life with just two sins? So obviously there was lots of other things that needed attention and that he needed forgiveness for, just like you and I. I think the devil really likes to use guilt about past sins. I have before here emphasized what 1 John 1:9 is about. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you'll remember I made a big deal about if the Lord cleanses you from all unrighteousness, how much unrighteousness is left? And the answer, of course, is none. We're clean. And then our personal righteousness is very much like our standing in righteousness with God. Cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But I think the devil likes to bother us with our past and remind us of things. Guilt is a good tool for him to use to keep us from being what we should be for God, because we know how we have failed him in the past. David refuses that. David has here, under the inspiration of God, the knowledge that he's fleeing from Absalom in this psalm. It's all about that. The knowledge that that's what people are thinking. And that's probably what he was thinking too. It's easy to think, well, you know, I've disappointed the Lord, so Is he going to help me? And of course, we talked about the lie that there that exists that if we have failed the Lord in the past, that he won't help us now. That's not true at all. Indeed, he will help us. And which brings us to the next verse where he says, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head." And we talked about that. And so I won't go into that anymore. But just to say that the Lord forgets our sins, the Bible says. And sometimes we remember them, and I think there's one time when remembering your sins is a good thing. And you might say, if the Lord has forgotten my sins, why can't I forget them? And I think he's left us with that, at least until the grave, so that, well, I know this is true in my life. If you remember the sins of the past, you don't go and do them again. You don't want to keep doing that again. And sometimes to be able to remember the shame of the past is a good tool of that. So does the devil use guilt to try to keep us from walking in victory? Yes. guilt of sins forgiven. And yet we can benefit from that, not to keep us from walking in victory, of course, but to keep us walking in victory and keep us from going back. Paul wrote and said, about the things that we are now ashamed. You know, we have things of which in the past life before we're saved, and even since we've been saved, which we're not proud of. And those aren't things we glory in at all. But sometimes I think we remember them to help us. And I think that helped David, I'll be completely honest. As you think about David and leaving when Absalom was doing the coup, when he was taking over with his rebellion, and David was leaving and crossing the river, and all that was involved in hiding that first night, and how dangerous really it was for him, and it kept David from doing a number of things that were wrong during that time, and we'll look at that maybe a little bit later. All right. We are in our notes then. Notes. You don't have any, do you?
Anybody else not have notes? Oh, you don't have any.
Yeah. You're welcome. You don't have any?
Sorry, no. I left them at home. I apologize.
Oh, we could get another copy. All right. You tell me, where'd I leave off?
You were halfway through Psalm 4, weren't you? Psalm 3.
3, verse 4?
Verse 4.
Oh, you're right. Okay, good. Thank you. So we talked about essential prayer as the first blank there. talked about praying for yourself better read the verse here so we have the understanding of the verse. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. And we talked about Selah. Is that, think about that, or there. Think about that for a minute. verse 5, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. And again, think about that. And so, we're about halfway through here in this paragraph, probably down to, do you know that God hears and answers your prayers? Do you know? And of course we should. Answer prayers in the normal life of a child of God. If our prayers seem to go unanswered at any time, ask God why. If you're not getting your prayers answered, it's different. If you're not getting your prayers answered about one thing, then our desires about that one thing might be wrong. But if you're not getting your prayers answered about many things, then there's you need to ask God why. Why is that? that he's not hearing. And be careful to listen to him. If you ask God why, he will tell you. But you may need to be still for a little while and block out the world so that you can hear in your heart what God is saying to you. And as you read the scriptures, take time. Make sure when you're reading the Bible that you're paying attention to what it says. God, let God speak to you. So if your prayer's not being answered, then get that fixed right away. Ask God why and deal with what you find. And I'm not sure how far we got here. This means we have to look in ourselves and be truly honest with self and with the Lord. And I think a lot of times people have problems being, well, you know, look back at my experience. People have problems being honest. They have problems being, I think, honest with themselves or with God. I don't know if there's a lot of difference between that. And just being able to deal with things face what you really are. We don't want to be so proud that we can never be honest about, you know, who we really are. And the Bible's a mirror, James says. A mirror to look into, see what you really are. And we should be able to do that. So, how do you deal with sin against God? Well, we confess it. 1 John 1, 9. You confess your sins. The word confess has the idea of getting on God's side. To say the same thing that God says about it. So don't call sins just a failure. Call it what God calls it. God calls sin rebellion. And don't just say, well, it's not good. Call it evil. God calls it wickedness. You're going to confess your sin. We haven't confessed our sins until we've gotten on God's side and condemned ourselves and what we've done. And seen it for what it really is. And so that's easy enough to do. Confess your sins, ask for forgiveness. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. You're snowy white and pure, wonderful. How do we deal with sins against others? Don't say you're sorry. The blank is ask forgiveness. So key. You can't make things right with others if you just tell them you're sorry for whatever you did to them. That's biblically, we need to ask forgiveness. You need to say those words, please forgive me. And I think that's essential when it comes to having things right with us. And then if things are not right and someone will not forgive you, you know, if you have the right attitude, if you truly are asking for forgiveness, then, and not just saying those words, and of course, that's what I mean. I mean, not just saying I'm sorry. You need to actually ask for forgiveness, and you need to actually ask for it, not just say those words, but seek forgiveness of others. And if they don't forgive you, it becomes their problem, then not yours, as long as you've done the right thing to ask forgiveness. And if necessary, make the blank is restitution. Make things right. And so if you owe somebody money, you can't just ask forgiveness. You need to pay it back, or whatever the case might be. Make things right as much as you can. And so that's how you deal with others. If you deal with sin against someone else, ask their forgiveness truly and honestly. Ask their forgiveness. And let's be honest here a minute. The hardest thing about asking forgiveness of someone else is if you weren't the only one in wrong. They were in wrong too. But you can't say anything about that if you're going to truly ask for someone's forgiveness. You can't say, well, you were wrong too. You can't do that. You have to, if you're going to ask forgiveness, you have to just deal with your part. If there was other wrong, let it go. Just deal with what your wrong is and say nothing about their wrong. And that's hard. I mean, it's hard to ask forgiveness, especially you might feel that yours is a much smaller wrong than theirs was. And it's a humbling thing, and I've had to do it a good many times, way too many times. Anyway, ask forgiveness, make restitution, and then the last on that page, the last sentence, how to deal with sins in yourself. How to deal with sins in yourself. Now, many people talk about, you know, you need to forgive yourself. And I guess that's true to a certain extent, but I simply have this. Change views and opinions. When we get into sin in the first place, it's because we did not have the right view about that sin. We believe the devil's lie that that sin would be fun. Be fun to talk about someone else behind their back. Be some fun to take something that isn't yours, or, you know, any one of the Ten Commandments, to be immoral. It'd be fun. Instead of seeing it as wickedness and ungodliness, there was something wrong with our view in the first place. We did not have the right view about that sin. We didn't have God's side. And so change your views, the two blanks there, change your views and opinions and our wills to please God and to follow the Bible. And our wills is the other problem, is we sometimes don't want to do what is right. In some situation, we do not want to do what is right. And we need to change our wills and submit our wills to the Lord so that we are willing to follow Him in everything and please Him in everything. It's very, very important. Any questions before we move on here?
No.
Yes?
One thing, you remember Jerry Shute that went to Lambeth Church?
Yes.
Whenever in prayer meeting, he never started a prayer without asking the Lord for forgiveness for unknown or unconfessed sin.
Mm.
And it was such a good thing to learn because it tells us we have iniquity in our heart, the Lord won't hear us.
Yes. Yes.
Just so it's good to know we should start that with that. Doesn't mean it has to be a prayer meeting, but within yourself.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's good to ask for the things that you don't even know that are wrong in your life. Although I lean more along the lines of asking the Lord what is wrong and find them out. But yes, you're right. Yeah, good point. Then verse 5. Now here's David running from Absalom. How did David do that first night when he was out in the bush instead of in the palace and sleeping amongst the soldiers? I laid me down and slept. And then I have written in my note in my Bible, like normal, because that's what he's saying. You know, I went to bed and I slept like I normally would. And I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. And the word sustain means to hold up, to be propped up or held up. We're held up by the Lord. You don't stand in your own strength in the Christian life. You can never say, oh, you know, look what I've done in my Christian life. You have to say, look what I've been able to do by the grace of God. He used me a little bit here and there. Probably we got in the way more than he really used us. But, you know, the Lord is the one holding us up all along. You can't take any credit about how, you know, well, I'm such a better Christian than they are. Again, you cannot see in the mirror, can you? Because your life is so full of failings and sins. The blindness of pride is the only way that people can think things like that. But the Lord is the one who's held us up. You say, well, I've served the Lord for many years. Well, always be careful that you give the credit where it belongs. You've served the Lord all these years with his help. And it's not you. You're just such a great Christian. Or me, by any means. And so let's look in the notes here for verse 5 then. After prayer, the blank is prayer. After prayer, do we have peace like this and get a good sleep? that proves that our Heavenly Father is taking care of us. Actually, I should have probably said there, it proves that we're trusting our Heavenly Father to take care of us, because the Heavenly Father's always taking care of us, whether you trust Him to do so or not. He's always taking care of you. So, getting a good night's sleep. There are a number of things that can bother a good night's sleep. I find in the Bible, and I've also found in life, that generally people have one of two motivating factors in their life. Either people are bothered by fear, or they have trouble with anger. It seems that people are either on one side of the fence or the other, that you have a tendency when things don't go well, you're going to get angry, or when things don't go well, you're afraid. The Psalms, of course, are for everybody. The Word of God, the Word of God is for everyone. I think, as I've read the Psalms, that David is more on the side of, what do you think? Which side is David more on? The angry side or the fear side? He's definitely on the fear side. Now, that's hard to believe. I mean, this is David that went against Goliath. This is David that went out with the armies of Israel year after year and destroyed and wasted the enemies of the Lord. The great military leader and the great king that he was, but he struggled with fear. There's a great deal of that in the book of Psalms, because even if you have anger in your life, every one of us deals with fear. And if we're honest, we all deal with that to some extent. And to be able to deal with, you know, Absalom's after his life, he's taken over Jerusalem, David's had to flee the city even. There really aren't that many on his side. There are those that are always loyal to him, his personal bodyguard, and beyond that. But to be able to lay down out in the bush and, you know, snore away. He's just sleeping away like always, and got a good night's sleep. Because the Lord was taking care of him, and he's trusting in that care. The Lord sustained me, he said. There's a lot that can be said about our trust in God that is connected to whether you can or cannot sleep. Because fear is one of those things, anger as well, that will take away a night's sleep from us. When we have prayed and given a matter to the Lord in the notes, then we should be able to feel that the trouble is quote-unquote over, even though it is not, because God has heard your prayer. Of course, the trouble's not over with Absalom. There's going to be a war and all kinds of difficult things for David to deal with, but he was able to feel that God had heard him. Therefore, he went to sleep because he cast his burden on the Lord and knew that the Lord had received that burden and God had heard him. And that's the whole point of verse 5 is, I know the Lord answered me, and I went to sleep with that confidence that the Lord answered me and heard my prayer. And verse 6 then, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. Now I noted that verse 1, when it says, how are they increased that trouble me? In the Hebrew, it's 10,000s. How are there 10,000s, he said, that trouble me? He felt like, very much like there were so many more against him than there were for him. And now verse 6, he makes mention of again, I'll not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Now, usually the word set themselves is a military term, meaning to put the army in array. In other words, you know, your archer, maybe your spearmen are here and your archers are behind them, and perhaps that if you have horses or chariots, maybe behind that. However you put the battle in order to fight. David is picturing in his mind, by under the inspiration of God, that there are 10,000s of people and they're all ready to try to take his life away. But he said, I will not be afraid. Now, I want you to notice very carefully the wording of the Bible, because it's essential. He doesn't say, I'm not afraid. You notice he doesn't say, I'm not afraid? What does he say? He said, I will not be afraid. In order to conquer fears, one of the key things in conquering fears is that the will must be brought to bear to accept the truth of God and stand on it. You can't go on your feelings. You will feel afraid a good many times. But you must, after praying and giving the matter to the Lord, you must learn to stand so that, you know, here's what God has said, and this is true. God's taking care of me. Oh, I don't feel like God's taking care of me. You have to put that away and say, I will not be afraid. Just like that. And that's where he is. He said that they might be gathered all around and set to oppose me, but I will not be afraid. The exercise of a will to believe God over your own heart, so important. And then in the notes then for verse 6, do we now fear no man? Do we now fear no man? We say, is it possible to live a life like that? Absolutely it is. To fear no man, and no woman either for that matter. Proverbs 29:25 in your notes, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Now, putting your trust in the Lord means has the idea, I believe, to put into practice what that trust, put it into practice, to say, I will not be afraid. Normally I would be, but this time I'm not going to be. I will believe what God says over what my own heart tells me. I will not be afraid. And the Bible says you put your trust like that in the Lord, and you shall be safe. Most of us have felt the truth of this verse and have been caught by our fear of man or woman. Now, the truth of the verse that I'm making reference to there is the first part of the verse, where it says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. What's a snare? Well, it's a piece of wire that you go out in the bush, you find where a rabbit is running. Rabbits kind of have a habit of running them down. They have a run. They have a pathway that they take all the time. So you set a snare in the pathway where you know the rabbit is going. And with that little piece of wire, essentially, you can get the foot of the rabbit and you catch him and eat him. And he's tasty too. But besides all of that, it's a trap. The fear of man is like a snare for a rabbit. It is a trap for us. One of the biggest traps you will ever deal with is being afraid of others. Being afraid of what others think. Being afraid of what friends think about you. Well, I have to do this because of, you know, what will they think of me? Well, who cares what they think of you? What does God think of you? The fear of some dominant person, like at work, some dominant person who mistreats you. They love to do that. And they love to have, there are certain people that just love to have other people afraid of them all the time. Afraid they're going to lose their job or afraid they're going to be written up at work or something. And the fear of man is a big trap for all of us at some point or other. That's a big trap. It can make us do the wrong thing. And so we got to be careful. And so that's my point. Most of us felt the truth of this verse and have been caught by our fear of man or woman and maybe said or did the wrong thing. That's the blanks. Said or did the wrong thing because of our like or our dislike for someone. And how many times, it's like that. My wife will say that she doesn't even like to go shopping with other people. Because when you go shopping with other people and you're picking out clothes, someone else will say, oh, I like that or I don't like that. And that will influence what you buy in the end. You end up buying something that you don't really like, but somebody else liked. So it's better in purview just to go shopping by yourself, and then you're not influenced because, you know, it's not so much the fear of man, but even the influence of a friend. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. So we've all said or done the wrong things. And it is a trap, is the blank there. It is a trap. So our like or dislike for someone drives us a bit. It can be a trap. And so sometimes we need, and the blank is to educate our feelings. The blank is educate our feelings. We need to educate our feelings. We need to tell ourselves not to be afraid after we have made sure that we have given the problem over to the Lord. We need to educate our feelings. The fact is, if we are right with God and man and have prayed in the name of Christ, we have been heard of him. And the blank is, no matter how we may feel. The word matter. No matter how we may feel, if we've been heard of him, then we need to educate ourselves and say, oh, well, all right, then let's stand on what the Bible says and not how I feel. And tell those feelings of fear to back down and begin to walk in the peace of God. 1 John 5:14, the notes there. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. I love that. If we ask anything, God hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And remember last week I said a lot of times in the Bible, if God hears you, it's the same as answering. That's exactly what 1 John 5:15 is saying. That you know, if you know that he heard you, then you know that he's going to answer you. You know you have the petitions you desired of him. You have it, even though you may not have it yet. It's coming. God's going to do it. And then verse 7, where he says unto the Lord, he wakes up in the morning, he says to the Lord, arise, O Lord, and save me. Arise, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. The key statement there, the key word is the word hast, which means you have in the past. When we did the first run through of the psalm, we talked about how David was never defeated in battle. We already talked about that and how a smash on the cheekbone and knocking someone's teeth out with a mace or whatever it might be would be enough to kill them. Certainly be enough that they would be down for a good length of time if they managed to survive. It's a death blow. It's a blow of destruction. And he says to the Lord, he said, when we went out in the battlefield all the time, it was you. You delivered the blow of destruction to all of my enemies, and you brought a victory. And in all the countless battles that David was in, you can never read once that he was defeated. Secondly, you never read ever that he was even hurt. And so God was taking care of him. David reflects back, and you and I should be able to do that too. Reflect back in your life and look at how has God taken care of you. You should have died here. You should have been in a car accident there. You could just look through your life. You could see all kinds of things that could have gone a complete different way than they did. And you say, well, who did that? Well, the Lord has been just given, taking care of me. Well, you look back, you say, well, the Lord took care of me in the past, and he did miraculous things. For I believe that everyone can look in their life, every child of God, and see that there has been a miracle associated with your life somewhere. And it could just be even a small thing. I had a 20-ton JLG lift, a big heavy machine, up on jack stands. And I was underneath it, and it was on jack stands. And I got up from underneath it and walked over to the parts department, and behind me, boom! And the jack stand broke, and it came down, and I was not under it. That's just in the material world, but in the spiritual world, there have been blessings and all kinds of things as well. And so, in the notes then, what has God done, verse 7, what has God done in your past? All right, you need to think about that. The Bible tells us over and over to remember the acts of God. Rehearse them to your children and to your grandchildren. Tell yourself and tell your family what God has done for you. And we probably have all failed in that. But look in the past, see what God has done. There are always great things, the blank, great things to remember. We do not count our blessings and victories as a blank often enough. We don't count our victories and see the great things that God has done often enough in our lives. The past. So, don't look at past things that we're ashamed of. That's not going to help at the time. But look at the past. Look at the past victories and the good things of the past. For there will be things there that will encourage your heart. And then the last verse, verse 8. Salvation, the word salvation does not, in this context, mean soul salvation. You have to look in the context. You want to find out. We would say deliverance, probably. Deliverance, some sort of help from God. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. And who has and owns all the help and deliverance is the blank. Who has all the help? Who owns it? I want you to notice who owns it, because the Bible says salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Deliverance, help, victory, encouragement, whatever it might be. Who owns that? Who can say, this is all mine? God can. God can say, all the help and all the deliverance, it's all mine. It doesn't come from you. It doesn't come from me. It comes from the Lord. All the help is coming from God. And so often, we don't mean to, but we kind of take credit for things ourselves. And want to give the credit to the Lord. A few weeks ago, I had to go pick up a generator at a job site. Now, I'm road service, so I don't usually do deliveries or pickups, but it was a small generator. It would fit in the back of my service van, and so I was out there, I had been there, and then I was leaving, and they said, well, you need to take it if you can, because we can't pick it up from our shop. So I hung up the phone, went back, and out here at the Maple Leaf site, actually. And there really wasn't anyone there to help me. And the generator's, it's probably 200 pounds. I mean, I could put it in there, but it probably hurt my back. Because, it's not just small. It's hard to get a good hold on it. And so, all right, so I go back out there, and I dragged it over to the back of my truck, got as close as I could, dragged it over the rest of the way, put it in. I opened up the doors, just got ready to put it in there. I'm like, got to muscle up for this one. This is probably more than I really should be lifting. But and then at that instant, a guy comes walking around the C-can and walks over and says, hey, do you need help with that? Oh, yes, I need help with that. And so he came over and helped me put it in, went back to the shop. They asked me, how did you get that in the van? Because, they knew you couldn't lift it. And I said, I pulled up there and I said, right at the moment I needed someone to help me, the Lord sent someone along to help me. Because that's a fact. I didn't send the guy. Who sent the guy? Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. The Lord sends people along when you need it to help you and take care of you, because the Lord is the source of all help and deliverance. It's, if you have help and deliverance, where'd it come from? It didn't grow out of the ground. It's coming down from the Lord, out of heaven, as the Bible says. And so, Matthew 7:7 there in your notes. Ask, and it shall be given you. I love this verse. I have loved this verse since the day I was saved, practically, and reading my Bible and finding it as a young Christian. Ask, and it'll be given you. Seek or look for it, search for it, and you shall find. Knock, And if a door needs to be opened, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And you'll notice my little note there. We're not spiritual because we don't, quote, bother God with all our needs. We are foolish and missing out on so much help and a close walk with God. When I was a young lad, I used to talk to myself. When I got saved, I just switched from talking to myself to talking to the Lord all day. And so I'll be out on a job site, and sometimes I'm like, I didn't realize these guys were working that close to me. I hope they didn't hear everything I said. Because I was just talking to the Lord about the problem and how to fix it. And I've told them at work over and over, I've told them, you know, we have 100 different lines of equipment. There's no way in the world anyone could know how to fix 100 different lines of equipment. Not a chance. And I don't take any credit for fixing things. I say, when I go out and I'm on my way to the driving there, I ask the Lord to help me. And it's the Lord that helps me. I said, it's me and the Lord. It's not just me. They go out and help. Because where is all of salvation? It belongs to the Lord. And his blessing is upon his people. And so the last statement there, God has special blessings just for the saved. He treats us differently than the lost. I know God loves everyone, but God does not treat everyone the same. He treats us differently. His help is the blank. His help, strength, ability, protection, blessing is our birthright in Jesus Christ. It belongs to us because we are his children. And I know people in the world will say we're all the children of God. We are not. We're not all children of God. Only the saved are the children of God. We're all the creation of God. But you have to be saved if you want to be his child. And if you want to have his special care in your life. All right, anything you want to add or ask about that? If you don't have the blanks, I'll go back to the first and just give them to you quickly. Verse 1, then, there will be times in your life when you have more enemies than you ever dreamed. The word is dream there. There are tough times when friends forsake or turn against you. In everyone's life, there are those tough times. Under facts of life, some people that you help will turn against you. And secondly, some people you think didn't care will prove to be your friends. The blank is prove. They'll prove to be your friends. And then number 3, there will be a few who will stick with you through anything. The blank is anything. All right? So it's dream, forsake, turn, help, prove, anything. And then a little further down, just before verse 2, the one and only true friend is the Lord Jesus, and he will never let you down. The blank is let. And then on... Go too fast for her? No? Verse 2, no one expects God to help you because of past failures. The blank is past failures. We may have foolishly told ourselves that lie. Then the two sins of David that are well known are Bathsheba and numbering the people. Does it make a difference to God what people know about us? And the blank is no. Difference and no. But it may tend to hinder our faith. The word, the blank, third blank is hinder there. And the last one on that page is there is all the help for you personally that you will ever need. Help in God. All that we ever need. And... any other blanks you didn't get? Anybody want help with anything there that you didn't get? Oh, in the inside then, under verse 3, we talked about the buckler and Christ is all these for us in an individual way. In the middle there, Christ is all these. He's all the things mentioned there and more for sure. All these for us in an individual way. And then we talked in our Savior has weight and can hold his ground against 10,000 of our enemies. Hold his ground. Then is our head bowed low, and the Lord Jesus himself. The two blanks are head and himself. And the third blank there is, does that change our view of the coming victory? And the last thing there in the last paragraph of verse 3, he works in our hearts and feelings and understanding, helps us to see things right and not through our distorted vision. The word is distorted there. All right, let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for the scriptures. Thank you for the privilege of opening the word of God. We pray that it'll be an encouragement to each one of us to pray and to walk with you and be close to you. Bless the pastor, Lord, in the following service and be with him, that you might fill him with your spirit, that you might give him words, Lord, whereby this Spirit of God might work in us through him. And help us, Father, to have ears to hear and a heart to believe the things of the Word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.